Welcome to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And what a week we've had this week, a special week with Gail Naidu and my mother, Brenda Brim Kruko. My name is Jared Houle, and my grandmother's out this week, but we've just been going over a really, really special to me, and I know when others hear it, it really just a special testimony about the love of Jesus reaching out to you, Gail. And I know that this week, the purpose of it will, there'll be so many people affected, but I know specifically those that are calling out, that we were just talking, you know, we talk as much between radio as we do on, and we're just, Gail and Mom were just sharing their hearts about the cry in, of a heart. Even the actions might be wrong or might be towards the wrong subject or God or whatever it is, but the cry of that heart, that searching heart, and how the Lord knows exactly how to respond and timing to that heart and affirm and heal it and
show everything. Himself.
Show himself, but exactly how to do it. You said how he touched God. You, that affirmation you needed, everything. And it says he knows the hairs of, we've heard that scripture, he knows the hairs on each person's head. But I mean, that means so much. And you see that context with that vision that the Lord, yeah, that you just spoke about yesterday.
Yeah, I was, as Gail was, you know, she's, you know, just bits and pieces of your vision. Sometimes you'll just say, I remember we had dinner that one time, and you said, Brenda, you said, the main thing I remember about Jesus is the love, that the love that came from him.
Pastor Brenda, if you can picture in my state, I mean, never had a hug or a kiss from my father a day in my life. Watching my mom grow up laying on the bed crying after being beaten from my dad, or my only memories of my mom crying on the bed after being beaten, or in hospital with this op or that op, year in, year out. So that's the only memories of my mom. My dad, no hugs or kisses from my mom, couldn't be a mom. And you just so love starved, so rejected, so abused, so abandoned, so lonely. You are in a family, but you're growing up totally alone. You know, that's why I have such a passion and I understand orphans and their plight. Because it was like me, I was like an orphan in my own home, you know. Mm-hmm. And I totally forgave my parents. I want to set that straight. But looking back now, in that brokenness, in that complete brokenness where you are, you feel like a nothing and a nobody. And when the real true God manifests and appears to you in a dream, and I was just, it was just the cry of the broken, God help me, God help me. I don't want to live with this pain. I was not suicidal, but I couldn't understand where this pain was coming from. And now I do understand it was the years of pain and suffering and rejection and abuse from mm-hmm. childhood that was just surfacing and broke at that point mm-hmm. and was just all surfacing. And now I understand it. But back then, mm-hmm. you know, because I grew up in this environment, but I was always strong. You know, God kept me strong in it. You know, I was not weak. I was very strong-willed. And so crying out of my brokenness, and the real, true, living God, Jesus Christ, appears to me. He hears the cry of the broken. Mm-hmm. He hears the cry of the broken. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage you all out there. He hears the cry of the broken. I wasn't saying anything specific, but God help me. I don't want to live with this pain. And he was so faithful mm-hmm. to answer that call, so mm-hmm. merciful. Mm-hmm. And when he was standing in front of me, when he appeared to me in the dream as I was sleeping, I was dreaming, he appeared to me. When I said that to you, Pastor Brenda, during, you know, having supper that mm-hmm. night, his eyes were just these pools. His eyes were just these pools of love. And, you know, when you have a very deep pool and a high dive, you know, standing from the top and dives into a very deep pool, that pool's got to be deep. The higher the dive, the deeper the mm-hmm. pool. And his mm-hmm. eyes, it seems like the love was in it, but it was not ending. It was just going. As I looked into his eyes, the love was just, it was just going into deep and deep and deep and mm. deep wells. And it's at the same time of me looking into it, it was like coming out towards me. Mm. it's not easy trying to explain spiritual things, but the best way I can say, as I was looking into it, I could see deep into it, and at the very same time it was coming toward me, because he knew my brokenness, and that love was kind of like penetrating me, penetrating my being, penetrating my soul. It was a beautiful exchange. Your mom always says, when she asked me to share the testimony, that when he put his hand on me, he imparted something to me. That's your mom.
Right.
And I highly respect her, but it was, and now I believe that, you know, I never knew that before. She brought that to light, you know, in about the vision. But just that love, that it was that, you know, that love going forth in me as I was looking into it. And it was so beautiful because it was going into me, penetrating me, cleaning me, healing me. You know, it was the beginning of a great work.
All those years that the enemy was, this, you know, the devil. I mean, even if it, you know, it says he's the god of this world. And just the things that this terrible world situation, that these little ones, that families and dysfunctional families and all the hurt. But in that, however long that dream was, that look, all of that, Gail, it was pools, right? It was like pools. It just washed it. It was gone. And that's...
His what, love always yes. meets the need, yes. Pastor Brenda.
Yes.
It was like that for me. And his love is still meeting all the needs.
Yes, you know?
And it's been a wonderful journey of him restoring my soul. Healing my broken heart and binding up my wounds. It's been just so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. Praise God. So then what did he tell you? Or you just knew it was the Lord?
Well, you know, after he reached out his hand and he invited me and he addressed me by name, like I said, he reached out his hand, put it on my shoulder, and he said, "Gail, come and have a personal relationship with me." Well, the next morning I woke up. And I ran to my mother's room and I told her what had happened. I told her about the dream and I told her, "Mom," and these were my words to her. Now, this is very important and very key, Ms. Pastor Brenda, because you're going to hear why. I said, "Mom, today I'm going to church with you, not because you have been asking me for the last 2 years, but today I'm going to church with you because I want to." And let me expand a bit on that. 2 years prior to the time, and looking back now, I just thank my Jesus. He was really trying to get me before the marriage took place. He was really trying to reach me. I didn't know that. 2 years before I got married, a next door neighbor invited, and we in an Indian community. It was apartheid days. We in an Indian community, and a next door neighbor invites my mom to church. And this lady went to the Nazarene church. And my mom just went with her. And my mom found so much of peace just in that 2 hours. So she would come, she came home from church one day and she said, "Gail, I found so much of peace just in 2 hours. Now you must remember with screaming, shouting, fighting 24/7. And she found she had so much of peace for 2 hours. And she started going with this lady. And eventually she would ask my dad to take her, but my dad refused to take her because he's Hindu and he says, "I'm not taking you to no church." So then she would ask me because I was the only one driving. I was the eldest. I had my own car. And I said, "Yeah, sure, Mom, I'll take you to church." So I drove her every Sunday to church, dropped her, went back and picked her up for 2 years. With the result, she started, as she started learning more about the Bible, she started praying. Because she's also Hindu and she started going, so she started praying. And she started praying for her family, obviously.
Oh, wow.
She started praying for her family. But very soon, it was months after this, she then went to a Rhema church after the Nazarene church. Someone invited her there. And there is where she really got plugged in with prayer.
Oh, wow.
Because the emphasis was on prayer and the gifts of the Spirit. And
was that Rhema?
Rhema, South Africa.
Yeah, Rhema College.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
So she really started getting into prayer. And with the result, I was still taking her to church, driving her, dropping her off there, and picking her up. And a conversation would go with me, "Gail, come with me to church." "No, Mom, I'm Hindu." And I would just keep on doing what I do, because I take her everywhere, because my dad refused to drive her, whether it be to the doctor, to weddings, to funerals. I was a driver. And after about a year, she said, Gail, please come with me to church. And I was still dating this guy, I remember. And he was the second guy in my life, you know, the second boyfriend I've ever had. And one day, I still remember so clearly, I said to her, these were the words I said to my mom. Mom, because she kept on asking me over a period of a year. I said, Mom, I'm born a Hindu. I'll die a Hindu. I'm proud to be a Hindu. This is who God created me to be. I'll never convert to Christianity and become a hypocrite.
Oh.
Those were my exact words, Pastor Brenda.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years later,
yeah,
married. The guy leaves me after 7 months. Cheats on me with a married woman with 2 kids. I'm back home, devastated. And that's when the Lord appears to me. So the Lord was actually trying to spare me all that heartbreak, yeah, further betrayal, rejection, heartbreak, and abuse.
Yeah. And your mother's
2 years
prayer,
prior.
And your mother's, to your mother, your prayers too.
Yes.
And yeah, it just shows you that he, whatever you let him do, he'll do. And the faithfulness of the Lord.
Yes.
Your mother. I didn't realize that part.
Yes. So the Lord is actually pursuing us and we don't know. He's working behind the scenes all the time. He's there doing whatever he can to get us to him.
You know, that shows the importance of you know, there's mothers and
family,
fathers and family, aunts and uncles, and you have children or your grandchildren or. And the importance, don't stop praying for them and lifting them up before the Lord. Because Gail is a perfect example of how he will meet them. He will show himself to them. And don't be moved by circumstances, but you stay in that word.
Well, just like Mimi was saying today, don't pray from the muckety muck.
Yes.
Pray above it.
Yeah. Don't pray in
above.
Fear
pray
or my poor baby serving the devil. You know, you pray in that place in Christ. And no one loves Gail more than Jesus Christ and the Father, God. And
that one night, boom.
Yes.
The situation.
Yes.
In the natural, nothing changed, but one night.
It gives him. It gives him legal right, Gail. Through prayer, the enemy. You know, we know that Satan is the god of this world. So it gives him legal right through the prayers of the body of Christ that was able to work in your behalf and to move heaven. And he is so faithful. So I know we have a meeting coming up. I think we've already shared about
that. Revealing the Glory.
Yeah.
You know, March, I know March 23rd through the 26th at the Glorious Church Fellowship in. Collinsville, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys can go online at billybrim.org for registration. They're also streaming.
It doesn't mean it's first come, first serve, but we have limited seating, so we're just trying to get an idea how many people. So anyway, we thank you, and shalom, shalom.